Hello and welcome to the studio here at the incredibly brand new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. My name is Trish Lynch and the title of this roundtable is How to Manage a Modern Hybrid Estate. And I'd like to welcome my guests and I'd like you guys just to introduce yourself to the camera and tell us about your job title.
Okay. Hi, Giles Lindsay. I'm CTO at Nimbler. It's an insurtech in the city.
I'm Russ, sometimes known as the Agilizer. I lead and design transformations.
My name's Nigel Williams. I am a storage field CTO for Hewlett Packard Enterprise.
Okay, so let's jump straight in. Please feel free to comment and get involved on what everyone else says because it's more like a conversation. So if I could start with you, Giles, what tactics are you using to gain more control of your cloud portfolio?
Great question. Thank you for starting with me. I think the key is to find the right partner to help us out. You know, go back even 10 years when cloud was just starting to become a thing properly. You didn't have that propensity of partners out there who specialized in either AWS, Azure, you know, GCP, et cetera, et cetera. So for us, I think to help solve that problem, it's about finding the right partners to help the business out. It's making sure that we don't need to have that capability in-house. Make sure we have those partners who we can trust and they can help us.
What about you, Russ?
Well, I think the partner is a cue for Nigel. However... So I feel like the interloper. However, you can't really control stuff if you can't monitor it. And the cloud's an awfully long way away, right? So what I've found in situations is there's uncertainty and there's assumptions that are made that the cloud is better and it's going to be cheaper. And that may not be true. So for me, and Giles, I'm interested in you, the cost control, the actually understanding the real costs, because it's going to be different for storage, it's going to be different for transactional work. And that's why we generally prefer hybrid, is you've got to understand what's right for which use case.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you've just said the cloud is not cheap, because if I'd have said it, it'd have been controversial. But you know, you're absolutely right. You know, at HPE, I feel like I've got like a cheat code for this answer because we have a portfolio. And when we are moving forward now, you know, the official message we have going forward is the future is hybrid. Everyone did a decade ago the cloud for everything, and that pendulum is now starting to swing back as people are discovering certain workloads that don't do that. The way we are starting to unify that, you know, we have a very broad portfolio in what we do, both on the storage and the compute and the various sides, is to unify the control plane. So essentially now what we are working on, and it's going to be part of a long process because we are a very big company, is to unify the control aspect and the control plane for all of our, whether it be products or services, under that single plane. Now, a key part of that, as you mentioned, cost control. So it comes down to metricizing the various aspects and allowing individuals to monitor, make decisions on what they've got. And we've currently got some of the storage under there, we've got some of the compute under there, we have a lot more to go, you know, holding hands up here. But the fact that we're making that journey shows that we're serious.
How can teams increase the visibility and control over their data centres and their wider portfolio? I mean, a big question, I know, but do your best.
For me, oh look, Russ talked about it a short while ago, monitoring, right? And I think, you know, if you built it, you own it. And as such, I think giving the teams that ownership and accountability of monitoring, making sure that they really understand what's going on, they understand where the spend's going as well. We just undertook a sort of a project in-house to actually regain control of some of those costs. We did a large monitoring piece of work to understand what do we actually need to monitor in our estate, in our infrastructure. We have given everybody who needs it access to all of that as well. And so that it just doesn't mean there's just one central DevOps engineer or one central op station doing all this monitoring. It's now there's that shared ownership and accountability is through the entirety of the engineering and DevOps team, which is great. And now everybody can obviously take a bit of control and a bit of management over that as well. And now we're doing a piece of work which actually is trying to reduce some of that spend. You know, do we need all of these environments? Do we need that much memory? Do we need that much storage? Do we need that much space for a Baikal database, etc.? So, you know, no is the answer to a lot of these things. And now the second part of this is to try and reduce some of that infra spend so that, you know, we have a better control of what's actually going on in our estate.
Sounds like you're continually learning on this journey.
Totally. It's 100% a learning curve. To what Nigel said, it's, you know, because of this new hybrid world that we're coming back to, we went fully cloud, and now we're slowly coming back to certain things on-prem, on physical tin as well. You know, we've got to understand where that spend is going.
Can I just ask, because I bet when you did that, you found that it's really easy to create a new development, you know, environment, spin up an environment at the press of a button. And
forget about it.
Look, I was a dev, so let's be nice. So you want that environment, so you're really motivated to create the environment, or you'll jump through any hoop to get it. And once you've done with it and you've used it, it's gone, you no longer care. So my question to you is, how many of those redundant environments did you find had been created, you were paying for, but nobody was using?
Many, and that's part of the problem. This is why we put in the place this whole monitoring project, to actually gain control back over our infra and to understand what we had where. And then once we had done that, we were really challenging everybody to say, do you need this, do you need that? We're talking thousands.
Yes.
Thousands, yeah. And thousands of pounds saving a month potentially. You know, and we're looking and talking to Google, we're wanting to do a commit 1, 3, 5 years, whatever that looks like. But our baseline of actual infra spend in this hybrid world is too high as a starting point. So I'm trying to reduce that, get a proper baseline, and then we can actually work with Google to actually give us a better commit
for the
future.
And one of the challenges you find with that is that, and I get this as a pushback as well when I deal with some of the, you know, the various sales teams or even customers, is, you know, they often push that, oh, you can save so much money by shutting things off. But you need to show the people that run those architectures that spin them up that it matters. Because very often the people that are delivering business goals aren't the same people that are seeing the bill, let alone paying for the bill. Yeah. So, for example, if I say, oh, I can show you how much that instance costs per hour, the people that are setting those instances up and spinning them down very often don't care.
That's it.
So it's a case of, you've got to show them where that impact can be good. And going back to the monitoring piece, you've got to give different tiers the ability to monitor what they want and customize that. Yeah. And it's different per company. You know, you need to, rather than just go in and say, we can monitor everything, it'll be amazing. You've got to go in and say, you know, we can monitor according to your needs and your adjustments that you need
to make.
There's
no cookie cutter.
There's no cookie cutter. As you say, especially when you're coming back into the hybrid side of things, there might be some pressures. There's very often some business decisions that lead it. And it might be there have been some egos that have bruised because we're moving back into hybrid. Or it might be a case of, you know, now we're seeing certain workloads that are going in, there are certain adjustments. And yeah, you've got to be able to specialise.
Yeah.
And to get people to care. So Giles, you know that I'm very interested in how we manage, you know, the management and the leadership. And we want decisions to flow down. We want people to be able to make decisions. But you can only empower decision making if people care about the things that matter. So this is, you know, this is a lovely kind of joining up of the stuff that's happening on the ground with the stuff that's more strategic, and saying, look, own it all, really own it.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of people thought we need everything just in case they missed the boat on one thing. So,
yeah.
You know, learning curve for everybody. Absolutely. Are there any proactive measures that we should be putting in place to continue that level of visibility as the hybrid estate gets bigger?
Learning. I think learning is a big one. Again, right? You know, the people closest to the outcome, the people closest to actually delivering stuff, you know, in Docker containers, you know, Kubernetes, Terraform, whatever. We've got to make sure that they are constantly learning the latest technology, the latest trends, and that they're doing things with ease as well, because we don't want to overcomplicate these things. We don't want to make their lives miserable. But at the same time, as I said at start, if they are building it, I want them to own it. I want them to take responsibility of the monitoring. I want them to take responsibility of the costs as well. There's no point myself as a CTO trying to ask someone, you know, please just reduce your cost spend somewhere down there. They've got to take ownership and accountability for actually doing it if they are using it. And to Nigel's point earlier, you know, spinning up dev environments and then sort of forgetting about it, that could cost me suddenly, you know, £2,000 a month extra for an engineer who's done that. So I think there has to be a level of you know, security, sensibleness, learning, all involved in that. And again, to Nigel's point, we are coming back into this hybrid world, moving away from fully cloud. You know, we've still got a long way to go.
And maybe, I don't know your product, but maybe this is in there, is if you've got everybody at all these different levels through the organization looking at the same metric and, again, caring about that, then, you know, maybe you have a better kind of ecosystem that says, look, because don't forget, you know, you're a capability. You're not really a business unit and a tech unit. It's a capability that satisfies your customers.
Right. Absolutely, because at the end of the day, I try consciously not to talk product. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I have a pre-sales background. My question is, I don't care what goes over the line as long as I fix your problems. Because, you know, we've got a massive portfolio. If I was to go into sort of, you know, pitch mode, oh, I've got 80 services in the cloud. I've got the ability to run multiple control planes. And we have. We've got very strong capabilities. Customers only care about three of them. Because those three that apply to them.
Yeah,
and each customer will apply to different ones, and I will always say, to go back to your original question, you need to speak to the teams. You need to see what's important to those teams, and also, like you mentioned, that the dev might spin up and it costs you thousands. If they don't know, then you know we can't stomp on them. But I've always said, have them build cool stuff. Can that cool stuff create a business outcome? Yeah. If it doesn't, then still say you've built something cool. You know, you've learned we can apply that to something else and it might apply to a new business outcome down the line. And it's enriched the business. It's brought something new to
fail
the business.
Fail fast, succeed faster.
Absolutely. But then if it does bring something new in, you say, okay, don't push it to production. let's bring it in. Yeah. Let's put some wrappers around it to make it production ready and then push it out the door. Yeah. Whether it be hybrid, whether it be cloud. Number of times, how many times have they said, you know, VMware is going to be killed off by new tech, and then they just adapt.
It's still there.
And then it changes. And so I try and push back against take tech X, it will revolutionize business. I take, grab a tech X, what advantage can it bring? Yeah. And then how can the business capitalize on that? Because that is far safer and far more willing to be accepted in the business, because very often business risk and business politics is the wrong word, but business drivers, business decisions have far more weight than technological ones do.
Yeah. So, look, thinking back to when I also do some interim CTO and transformation work, we had stuff in every available cloud, in every, you know, every pipeline, DevOps. I mean, we just had everything. Mm. How do you give everybody that same degree of control and observability of what's going on?
That is a very difficult question because what you end up doing is you end up going into the realm of, is multi-cloud a thing? And depending on who you speak to, multi-cloud is either a thing or it's a layer of obfuscation. Because if all of those elements need to talk to each other, then that's a challenge. If they don't need to talk to each other and therefore it's three different skill sets, one set will argue they're all doing their job, they're all working great. Yeah. One side will argue you have a technical debt that you have to address later on the line. Personally, and this is a personal opinion, I believe that any solution you have should be modular, that you can adapt. In the real world, the more services that you take that are built into a technological stack, the harder that's going to be to move. So in reality, I would say consolidate where you can, but don't let a consolidation drive you into a corner.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, that we're talking about hybrid estates here, but ultimately it boils down to having teams that care, as you said,
who are
willing to go the extra mile.
Correct.
And to make the difference. How have you managed to convince your team to get on board with this?
Good question. I think it's by actually giving them access to the experts as well. I was going to ask Nigel from the point of view of, you know, are you talking to the CIO, the CTO, whoever in an organisation to sort of find out what's actually organically needed? Or are you talking to the people closest to the outcome? You know, those engineers, those DevOps specialists within the organisation, the ones that actually really know what's needed. Because believe you me, I don't. And I'll be the first one to admit that. But at the same time, I want to make sure that my teams care, but at the same time, they are empowered to be the ones to have the conversation. And that answers, hopefully, you know, some of the question as well.
I don't want to steal, you know, the answer on that. I will say very, very quickly, I found my strategy has been talk to the bottom, because that those teams on the front row know what's going on, know what workarounds they're doing. And when I speak to C-level, the first thing I say to them is keep the team at the front line involved. Because it's really easy, and you know the stereotype for C-level to go to a convention, X is the future, let's deploy X. In reality, if they've got their frontline teams involved, then not only will they feel involved, they can bring forward a better solution.
Totally agree.
And of course, everything is about the bottom line, the cost. How can technology leaders manage the cost in this context?
I have to challenge that. It's not about the cost, right? It's about profit. Right, you don't mind spending the money if you're going to produce more revenue. So it's always about that. And I think what, you know, listening to what Nigel just said, it is about finding ways to integrate the what's going on between, you know, the demands of the top and the bottom, if you like those terms. I don't, but it is, you know, we are one business, and together we kind of produce that capability. And I think that's what the digital age is about. You know, in the machine age, it didn't matter. Somebody over there or up there could have made a strategic decision and we just followed the orders. Well, now, that technology, you talked about learning, tech is changing, what, every 6 to 12 months?
Easily.
Right?
Easily. Yeah.
You have to be able to learn. Capability, the learning capability is crucial. Mm. So if you're not, you know, if your guys are not in touch with the latest products and techniques, you are definitely missing a trick. Mm. And I would say to anybody working within an organization, make sure that your CTO knows what's going on, because they don't always know everything, right? They have other pressures. So for me, this is an Alistair Coburn thing, that information radiator, that making sure that information is flowing, you know, convecting through the organization, that's what you want, because you want to do the best, right? You want the company to succeed. Mm.
I always say there is no better revenue exception generator than a project that is very profitable. Because happens, you know, I was talking with a customer in the financial services sector, and they have got a big sustainability drive at the moment, which is all about, so they're caring what every piece of power is being used by everything, and every project is being looked at, apart from the system that is generating a lot of revenue, because they've just turned around and said, do you want to risk us? At which point they went, moving on. And so it is that balance. I always go back to, you know, you've got a PowerPoint deck. The PowerPoint deck sends a message, whether it be from myself as a vendor, or it might be a partner that you want to engage with that believes they implement change in a really positive way. Yep. Digital transformation. I'm sorry, it's the only time I'll use that phrase. I apologize. But then...
You're forgiven.
Yeah, and then you see, internally in the business, you speak to 4 or 5 business units, and one of them says, no, we're critical. Yeah. And it can be in every generation. It can be manufacturing. So you've got just-in-time manufacturing that says, do you want to risk slowing down our line, which will impact 30 other systems? Or it can be road traffic networks, where I've been involved in the past, the SCADA systems on the overheads that say, do you want to risk the wrong time being, or the wrong speed being element? So they can really have an impact. And that's why I'm a big believer in, when it comes to implementing new technology, new way of working, small wins first. Small projects, proof of concepts, low risk. Because once you do that, you get buy-in. You get further buy-in at the business.
Correct.
And you need that buy-in at all those
levels.
Big bang
doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
No, not at all.
You know, or they say, oh, just do a full system audit before we do anything.
Yes. Yeah, no.
Yeah, good luck, in reality. But if you can get a small win, where you will see that's not a lot of risk to the business, it's not a lot of revenue cost. Okay, if we can show an improvement there, then you've got more of my time to see how much we can impact it later on. They win with that. Then all of a sudden, you've got the technical buy-in. You've got your buy-in.
Yep.
You've got buy-in from a partner. And you've got far more weight to move forward with it onto a larger project.
However, right?
Of course.
So there is a belief that if you get a small win, you then have the prototype template that you can then cookie cutter across the rest of the organization. And that's, yeah, exactly. That
doesn't
is
work.
A rest. Yeah. That's a bad
that's,
move.
That's a bad move.
Exactly. So I'm sorry if I've just sort of hijacked you and taken you off the topic.
No,
true. Because in hybrid world, which everything is, right, every network of people is different.
Correct.
They learn at a different rate. They have a different, they have different hierarchies. They have all sorts of things. So what works over there may not work over there. Right?
Absolutely. And that's where you've got to take the culture of the solution stack. And that sort of risks bringing in, you know, stereotypes. But it's more of a case of, if you look at an application stack or if you look at a solution that's required, and it's, this goes outside of IT as well, it can go into any industry that you want. You've got to be willing to align with that industry's priorities and their risk profiles. You know, with me, mainly it was storage, backup, disaster recovery, virtualization. If I went into a networking team and I just suggested that your entire stack of brand X I'm going to rip out and replace with another vendor, you know, because we have a new cloud integration, I would just get laughed out of the room so quickly. And you've got to align with their needs, their priorities, and their risk profile, and you can have a much greater chance of success. Because at the end of the day, it's a relationship. Yeah. And it's a trust relationship that's two-way. If you do more, and this is why I prefer the small projects to start, if you show trust, you show success, they're more willing to go on that journey with you.
100% agree.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Giles, so small wins, no cookie-cutter approach, profit, keeping the team on board. You're in alignment with all of this, I assume.
Totally. I mean, yeah. It should be just the sort of normal now, modern ways of working in organisational design. You know, making sure that the people closest to the outcome are happiest. You know, Nigel again used the right word. It's that culture element in the mix as well. And so making sure that they are learning. You know, we make sure every single iteration that the teams do, there's a level of training involved. And that's really key, because if they don't, they'll just get stagnant, it'll just get stale. You know, there'll be new things that we can utilise. We won't know about it. We won't get that competitive advantage. So all those other things you said all the way through to profit just won't be there.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. Giles, Ross and Nigel, it's been an interesting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks. Thank you for joining us at home. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. You may well be navigating something like this yourself. And I hope we've answered some of those questions for you. Thank you for joining us in the studio today.